Hey guys, this is Cole Weicher.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Everyone, and thank you for joining us again tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes Show. We are your green and gold gospel and your only source for year-round Rowdy's coverage. We are live on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented by Roughneck Scarves and a Taco Bus. My name is Stephen Cundiff. We only have one other person with me tonight. Joining me is Matthew Cox.
Hey, 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 how's it going?
It is good. Dan unfortunately won't be joining us. Apparently, they did a really good job of not paying attention to the fact that we have things to talk about, and they decided to make, like, you know, a little date night event family thing, and, you know, grumble, grumble, grumble.
Highly overrated.
Silly kids.
Don't they know we have the Open Cup to talk about?
Hello? Right?
That was my Steven impersonation.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Well, you know who else is really excited about the Open Cup? Our Patreon executive producer, who tonight is Adam Martin.
Okay, I'll give you. Adam is hyped.
A longtime faithful listener of the show, longtime fan of the Open Cup, and is, I mean, one of the best Rowdies fans out there that don't live in the Tampa Bay area. We, as always, we love you, Adam. We always love seeing you. My God, I hope you get a chance to come to Al Lang again next year and get to see the standing sections. If you want to tweet us some thoughts, questions, comments during the show, Twitter's the best way to do that. At Unused Subs Pod is the mothership. We do have Facebook as well. You can always reach out to us through our individual Twitter accounts and such. Anytime during the week, between shows, on air, doesn't matter. And we'll let you know what we have to say. So, 2 weeks ago, and technically 4 weeks ago, we did a couple of shows. We talked about the roster. We talked about what players we knew were coming back, what players were maybe considered doubtful, players we might want to see back. And a few days after the show that we did last time, the official roster news broke for what was the first obvious round of declined options, contracts that had expired and players were at free agency, things of that nature. And it pretty much turned into almost exactly what we had said, for the most part, on air. There really wasn't much in the way of any kind of surprise to the players that were chosen. And like I said, we knew who was coming back because they for some reason, they always, like, announce returning players that are already under contract, kind of like, and coming back for 2020. Like, it's always acted like it's a new thing. It's, I always find that funny. But Let's go ahead and run through it here. Just so that way, if you didn't catch that announcement for whatever reason, or you're just looking for a refresher, here we go. Coming back confirmed on the roster for next year is Lucky M. Kasana, Jordan Adebayo-Smith, Steven Dos Santos. That's your three strikers that are coming back for next year. Confirmed so far. In midfield, you have Yon Ekra, Sebastian Dalgard, Deion Harris, and Connor Antley. On the back line so far confirmed is Jordan Scarlett. And as goalkeeper, we see Raiko Rosarena. Now, like I said, we knew a lot of these were, like, there was not, like, there was a question about whether they were coming. Like, they were under contract. A couple, like, at least one of these is a bit surprising to me. But for the most part, I think this is pretty standard fare.
Okay.
For the returning group. Now, confirmed departure so far is Jordan Doherty. His contract expired. He became a free agent, and it was announced shortly after, a couple days after the news broke that he was not going to be coming back to the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Well, we found out why, and that's because he is going to be going to Ireland. He has now signed a 2-year deal with Dublin-based club Bohemians. Not the first Rowdy player to go from the Rowdies to Ireland. Obviously, as we all know and remember, Pascal Millian joined Sligo Rogers for a few years.
Won the league with him too, I think.
Yes, he did. So, major congratulations to Jordy. I know for me personally, I was in the camp that he needed new surroundings to develop, because the minutes were getting squeezed here, and he's such a young guy that sometimes moving to another club is just kind of what you need to do occasionally. It's not a bad thing. It's not saying it's a better move. It's just sometimes you got to do it just to try it out, just to see if it happens to work out better. It is what it is. So major, major, major congratulations to Jordan Doherty. I mean, going from any U.S.-based club to a European-based club, really at any level, and signing for a multi-year deal, that's great news. That's fantastic news. That doesn't happen very often, regardless of your national origin. It doesn't matter. It's coming from U.S. to overseas for multiple-year contracts. That's great news. So, major, major, major congratulations. We're going to miss him. We no longer have a team full of Doherty's.
We have one less Jordan.
But only one less.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, with him going back to an Irish club, like, you know, how much of that is just there's a familiarity with him, that they know who he is. You know, he has his reputation with the he was captain of, I think, one of the youth national teams. But I wonder if part of it is that, you know, he's been here for a couple of years. He had the one lone year, then he had the contract. How much of this may have been he just wanted to go back home?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The agreement between him and the Rowdies that, you know, could have re-signed if he wanted to, and maybe he made the choice to go back home. So, you know, it could be a thing where they kind of let him go out. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe the future changes. Who knows?
Yeah, no, of course. Absolutely. It's a possibility. I mean, again, there's so many things that you're just not necessarily privy to when it comes to lower division American soccer, especially when it comes to rosters and players and those types of situations. It's virtually impossible to know everything as far as why players and teams make the decisions they do. But, you know, all things considered, like I said, I thought Jordan Doherty would be doubtful for next year regardless. So, you know, seeing that officially announced, I was nothing but happy for him for a career move and a career level. The other players that were announced as free agents that we have not specifically heard anything about yet would be Evan Lauro, Max Lakowecki, and Zach Steinberger. Obviously, the way the season ended for Evan, he came out and did say on socials that he'd probably be about 6 to 8 months is what it was reported as from him directly. So it's not necessarily a full year out, though who knows if that's just being optimistic because he's a free agent. I don't know. I mean, you're obviously not going to hurt your own career ambitions and say, I'm out for a whole year with no chance of coming back early. Nobody's going to say that, you know? So who knows right. If there's a little bit of that going on. Either way, that is still... I think the way his season ended hurt more than us losing the championship. Like I think that is a more heartbreaking story than the actual final of the final score.
I'd say so, because, you know, you go into a game, you know anything can happen, but you don't necessarily go into a game expecting that you're going to lose your goalkeeper of the year for the league due to a freak injury on a post-game celebration. Yeah, that's absolutely horrible.
So hopefully things work out for Evan, whether that ends up being a Tampa Bay thing or not, you know, regardless, he certainly earned a place really at any club in the D2 level. It'd be tough to break an MLS roster, but just because there's not a lot of roster spots for goalkeepers. Hello.
I throw a completely uninformed speculation out there?
I mean, sure. We're here for uninformed speculations.
Like, how does he not end up in Detroit? He you know, is one of the co-owners, owns a share or some shares of the team, made his debut for them in an Open Cup game a while back, has a history with the team. I can see that being maybe a natural landing spot.
Again, a lot of this comes down to medical prognosis. A lot of this comes down to what the existing roster looks like for the potential club that he may be going to if he doesn't stay with the Rowdies and we don't find a way to restructure the contract as it is to make it work here. I mean, there's a lot to consider there. You know, again, it's even if a team signs him, like even if Detroit signs him, he's still out for 6 months no matter what.
Yeah.
Which means that through the process of rehab, he would have to beat whoever starts as their starting goalkeeper throughout training camp and the first half of the season. It's not common to see a situation where a goalkeeper upends the position of another goalkeeper midway through the year, unless things have gone really poorly. Now, that being said, I have no problem if Detroit absolutely just craps bricks this year and is in last place and Evan is there and is able to just walk in because there's no competition that's, you know, worthy of competition. I'm cool with it. That doesn't bother me. If Detroit's sitting in last place, so be it. But I think realistically it's a tough ask. Or even for that matter, it's a tough expectation that he would potentially be looking at starting time by the end of 2022. It would have to take a pretty remarkable set of circumstances, I think, just because the dynamics of it all. Now, that being said, I mean, obviously 2023, you would hope he's able to go somewhere. If right. Nobody's willing to drop the cash for this year, you would hope that 2023 he's somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see what the league looks like at that point, where the opportunities potentially lie. To the other two free agents, Max and Zach, I don't think either of us, and for that matter, I don't think Dan either. We pretty much didn't expect them to be coming back. We would kind of be surprised if they end up anywhere at this point. I mean,
you have a couple of teams coming into the league that maybe signed them for just, you know, a veteran presence or experience. Who knows? But I don't think anyone's bringing these guys in as first name on the team sheet.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, you know, we've been talking. We weren't even sure last year that Zach Steinberger was going to be coming back. Like, that was kind of a surprise move for us. And then on top of that, after kind of surprising us by making the roster, he actually started the year in that center attacking mid position for the first like 4 or 5 weeks of the year, if not longer. And it obviously didn't work. We kind of knew it was something that I had commented on, that it just wasn't working at that point, despite the hot start for the season in the month of April. But yeah, and Max for a couple years now has been basically just depth. And, you know, these guys are getting older. I mean, we were talking about the fact that, like, yes, I know they're still in their 20s. I'm not saying they're 40 years old, but...
Hey, let's not call 40 old, all right? I'm just saying.
For soccer players, man, for soccer players. All of this is in perspective, sir. But the fact is that the Tampa Bay Rowdies were still, like, we ranked as, like, the second oldest team average age across the league last year. You know, Max and Zach both are kind of in the context of USL, they're almost aged veterans at this point. And so I don't know, like, they really would be at this point, as you said, a veteran presence to a young team. And there's not a lot of people that are going to spend money on just having a locker room presence in USL. Like, that's just not a thing you can count on. I'd be surprised if they're, depending on where they end up going. Again, free agents mean that you're allowed to try out for the club that puts you to free agency. That doesn't mean, you know, if you're, you know, you can still be invited to camp and he could still earn his way back on the roster. Either one of them, for that matter.
Yeah, just doesn't seem very likely in these cases with the way that release was worded.
Well, keep in mind, it's been worded that way in the past. And the Rowdies have had those players come back. So it wouldn't be unprecedented for the Rowdies if that were to happen. It's rare. It would be unprecedented,
but typically there's like a, you know, negotiations are ongoing with these players and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, it would be the exception rather than the rule.
Now, what I will say, though, is when they typically say options declined, that means that there was an existing deal in place ready to go, and they said we're going to take it a different direction, and that would end up being Ian McGrain and Luis Fernando.
Yep.
Two players we didn't see a minute of for various reasons.
I will say, Pod Daughter, very disappointed to see Ian McGrain leaving the Rowdies. She felt he was quite possibly the cutest player on the roster.
Good for her.
She may be the member of the Rowdies fan base that has paid the most attention to Ian McGrain over the last few months.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's something that I had when we got a chance to go out to a practice. You know, Ian didn't have the greatest of footwork and distribution skill compared, you know, of the three goalkeepers that were out there. You know, his shot-stopping ability wasn't bad. He certainly had range. He obviously had the height to cover a lot of the goal just inherently. But he did not do a great job at the practices that I went to with his footwork. So, you know, it was pretty obvious why the depth chart was organized the way that it was for the last couple of years. I don't really know where Ian would go at this point. I mean, he's still young, but I don't know. I don't see it in particular. Luis Fernando, of course, at this point's a complete ghost. You know, he was there for the games. He certainly cheered on the team while he was there. So, I mean, good for him.
Got on the bench one time.
He probably will get picked up somewhere. I would say of the two, it's more likely you see Fernando than McGrain. Obviously, outside of like personal decision making involving, I would be surprised if Luis is not somewhere on the roster. It's not somewhere in the league playing next year.
So something I'm kind of curious about is McGrain came to the team shortly after they announced that this kind of partnership with AFC Ann Arbor's head coach / sporting director, that he was now the head scout. And McGrain had played for Ann Arbor back in like 2019. So I'm kind of curious if that relationship's still in place, because it was him and Chad Burt were on the same press release, that Chad Burt was joining the coaching staff and that this guy, Eric Rudland, was going to be the new head scout. I kind of wonder if that's still in place. We haven't heard anything about that connection or anything since then. I don't know if that affiliation is still there or not. And just kind of curious to see what that's going on.
Certainly. And it's funny because like with a lot of these backroom hires, you know, they put the name out there on the club so that way people know that, hey, you know, us, we're trying to, you know, we're hiring people, you know, there's activity, there's things to talk about, you know, we still exist, you know, as an entity, right? But how many times are you ever going to hear about what the results of somebody's, you know, job is as the head scout of a second division soccer club? Lord only knows how involved he may or may not have been.
Right.
You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, if his observation was, hey, Deion Harris is really good, everybody would be looking at him going, yeah, you know, like, did you find a diamond in the rough? Because Deion Harris was kind of a diamond sitting on top of the ring.
Yeah. So looking at, I had a little document here. I've kept the contract information, at least whatever is publicly available. So I have this kind of updated now. And we mentioned guys like Forrest Lasso, Aaron Guillen, Lewis Hilton, all of whom's contracts that were signed in 2020, announced as two-year deals, are all technically free agents too, but we're not in, since their seasons ended, their contract's over. Leo Fernandez, last thing I saw for him was a re-signing in 2021 to a one-year deal. Same with Lawrence Weick. Juan Tejada, Sebastian Guendotti, last time I saw anything about them on contracts announced was 2019 for Tejada, 2017 for Seba. Neither one had a contract length, so I'm unsure about them. But then one guy who's just kind of in this gray area, we talked about how, like, you know, they make the announcement, all these guys that were already under contract are returning this year. Matthew Serbel was signed in 2021 to a two-year deal, according to the press release, and was not included in that announcement. So I'm also kind of curious. We know he had an injury issue this year, and you know, he was getting some minutes, got injured, and kind of didn't get back in after he recovered. So I'm kind of curious what his status is too.
That's a fantastic point. That's very interesting.
I mean, part of me wants to say the fact that his name wasn't mentioned kind of might tell you everything you need to know. But, you know, he wasn't mentioned as departing, wasn't mentioned as returning. So I don't know. Like,
or
does he exist? Can we get a proof of life on Matthew Serbel?
Well, behind door number two is that press release wasn't worded as accurately as it could have been. Because what if it was a one-year deal with one-year option and they just accidentally or whatever announced it as a two-year deal?
Possibly, but then wasn't mentioned as if it was an option. It wasn't mentioned about an option being declined or picked up.
Well, so, yeah, but they haven't. Thing. But they haven't. But I don't think they've. The players that were announced, we went through the roster. I didn't write them down specifically as well as I could have. The players that were announced already on the list that you had, were these all two-year contracts announced, or were any of these option players that had, you know?
So Connor Antley, Deion Harris were signed in 2021 to two-year contracts. Jordan Scarlett was signed in 2020 and had a one-year deal plus an option for last season. Steven Dos Santos, Jordan Adebayo-Smith had options for 2022. And then Lucky M. Kosana, I'm just going based off when we talked to Lee Cohen before in the pregame show before the final, he said that Lucky was signed for 2022. So I don't know if that's the final year of the deal or if it goes beyond that. But
okay,
we had two guys definitely on 2022 options. One guy, Jordan Scarlett, with what the article said was a 2021 option. So it would have been picked up for last season. So I don't know if that's a new contract deal or if I misread the article. The other interesting one, Ryko Rosarena was signed. I think was one of the last players signed before the season started. And in the press release, was described as signed for the 2021 season.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that there's a new deal because, you know, we heard tons about him during the season that, you know, maybe that's what they ended up doing is re-signing him or even re-signing him sometime during the year or putting an option on the deal. Who knows? We'll have to find out. But yeah, a couple of those guys were options for next year. And a couple of them are, who knows? It's lower level soccer.
That's true. I will give a shout that if you really want to follow a lot of the ins and outs, obviously the USL, they do a little bit for this, for the transaction tracking. I don't know if they're doing it as this year as well as they did in previous years, but I do know one place that you can go for some pretty great place. John Morrissey over at USL Tactics is kind of picking up the torch on whatever USL isn't doing this season on their own website. And John has been putting together an excellent tracker with the data that he's been able to pull and accumulate on all these players for top, you know, free agent options and by position and everything else across the USL. So if you really want to get some in-depth analysis on the off-season potential moves, that's a great place to go. A great place to consult for that kind of information and level of detail. You know, we've seen some moves across the league and everything else, but, you know, I don't think anything's, like I said, as far as what I see with the Rowdies, nothing surprises me yet.
No, the only one I was really kind of surprised of at first was Doherty, but then seeing him signing with an Irish club so quickly kind of makes me think that was he was ready to go home. So I'm going to be not surprised by that. Also, while we're talking about Rowdies and free agents and USL Tactics, it's worth pointing out, John's Twitter bio has been updated to read ex-data intern Tampa Bay Rowdy. So his time with the club has apparently gone as well, too. We will have him back on more often, especially now that he's part of the new co-host crew at USL Show.
An interesting observation on the Twitter bio. I hadn't seen that yet. Interesting.
Just picked that up because I was going to the link for his off-season track.
Yeah, funny that. I was on there going there live on the air, and I happened to notice this.
News. All right. Anything else we need to say about rosters?
No, I wouldn't. I would say that as anything with Tampa Bay Rowdies in lower division soccer, you might get one or two like important free agent signings probably in the next couple of weeks from across the league. And then the rest of the news will kind of trickle in from there about players. I mean, obviously the best players are going to get picked up pretty quickly. They're going to move pretty quickly when it comes to league transactions. And with MLS starting a couple weeks earlier than what we've seen in the past, with the Rowdy season kind of starting right around on time or maybe a week earlier than normal, you know, you might see some movement here probably pretty quickly. I don't think you're going to have to wait very long coming into January here for that kind of stuff.
Speaking of important additions and free agent signings and things like that, take a second and mention one of our own important free agent signings in the recent weeks. Our good friends and new sponsors over at Taco Bus. Taco Bus proudly delivers a healthy, fresh, authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just one bite of a burrito, tostada, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit Taco Bus today at one of their 12 locations, and remember to keep it Chido. I got some time off this week and don't feel like doing a bunch of grocery shopping. I'm going to have to pay a visit to Taco Bus. Usually Wednesday night is my daughter and I's kind of like Tex-Mex night. She's elsewhere for the evening, so we'll push that off till next week. But I need to get some Taco Bus in there. Maybe that'll be a New Year's resolution. Add in more Taco Bus.
I just wish they were like anywhere near me. I think the closest one I would have to go to visit is something like 40 minutes away or some gross number like that.
It's probably a good 20, 25 minutes for me, but every time I go, it's worth it. Kind of down south, like middle Sarasota. Anyway, so let's get into, you mentioned briefly near the end of the roster stuff, season kickoff. That's the next bit of news that was released pretty much, I think, about a day or two after the roster news came out. USL announced their the USL Championship, the League One and League Two did also, but we're going to focus on the championship because that's where the reps are. The USL Championship is returning to the traditional two-conference alignment in 2022. There will be a 34-game regular season, will be played from March 11th to October 15th, 2022. The home openers and full schedules will be announced in January. There will be 27 teams competing in the championship this year, 13 in the Western Conference and 14 in the Eastern Conference. Every team will play each of its conference foes twice, once at home, once away. So if you're keeping track in the Eastern Conference for the Rowdies, that means that's 26 of the 34 games. The remaining 8 games will be against interconference opponents. So 4 at home, 4 away against teams from the Western Conference. Devin Kerr broke the news that one of the Rowdies interconference games will be a rematch of the USL Cup final. Against Orange County, again at Al Lang. Don't know dates or when in the season that's going to be. I really wish, like, I'm glad that we're getting more interconference games than like the one or two we've gotten in past years, because I think that's good. But I like playing some of these other teams. I just wish, and maybe it's just like the little OCD part of me, I just wish it was going to be 4 teams from the West, home and away, to keep it balanced with that, rather than just 8 random teams from that roster list of the clubs. So your updated Eastern Conference, including, we know some of the 2 teams have left to go to MLS's new Division III league. We know we have some new teams coming in, and we have a team that really has always been Western Conference till last season that has defected and joined as well too. So your Eastern Conference lineup looks like this: Atlanta United 2, and I believe this is going to be their last year in USL Championship. Mm-hmm. Birmingham Legion, Charleston Battery, the addition of Detroit City FC, Hartford Athletic, Indy 11, Loudoun United. Are they staying after the season, or is this their last season too?
No, I believe this is their last season as well.
Oh, darn. Louisville City, Memphis, Miami FC, Red Bull New York, who is going to be a new-look team this year with the departure of head coach John Wolanek. I think this is going to be – is this going to be their last season also? Because they're heading in – I think that's correct. I think that's maybe the reason why he left. I don't think he – they're heading towards more of a developmental league setup with that MLS plus Rochester thing. And
in other words –
We know he's very competitive.
In other words, what you're saying is that his hatred of Neil Collins has inspired him to leave his post in order to secure the future of playing against Neil Collins more often as a coach.
I honestly thought he might become the next ex-Red Bull 2 signing for Tampa Bay, because we do have some assistant coach openings, spots open, and, John knows where the... go where you have the best opportunity to win, and that's going to be right here in Tampa Bay. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Rounding it out will be Pittsburgh and Tulsa remaining in the Eastern Conference after flipping over from last year. Out in the West, excuse me, you're going to have the switchbacks, El Paso Locomotive, LA Galaxy 2, Las Vegas Lights, the Monterey Bay Union. I believe that's the new team out there.
FC? Rapid?
I don't.
Locomotive?
Yeah. Monterey Bay United FC Locomotive, New Mexico, Oakland Roots. Oakland Roots, whose big offseason news so far has been they're moving into the old Las Vegas Raiders training facility that's then they were the Oakland Raiders. Orange County. I'm just looking at this and going, oh, there's a star over there. Oh, yeah, that's why. Screw them. Phoenix Rising, Rio Grande Valley FC Toros, Sacramento Republic FC. And it's now looking more and more likely that Sacramento will be a USL team for the foreseeable future. San Antonio FC and San Diego Loyal. So, Stephen, I'm going to put you on the spot. We know Orange County is confirmed. What are the other seven teams that you would like to see the Rowdies play this year from the West?
So I'm competitive, and I like intriguing matchups. So let's just throw the whole freaking gauntlet. Like, let's do Phoenix, El Paso. I mean, obviously got Orange County. I'd love to play Sacramento. San Antonio. Let's see here. How much harder can this get? Colorado Springs. I need what? Two more?
Yep.
New Mexico. The rest of these teams are trash. Let's go Rio Grande. Why not?
Okay. I'm pretty much on board with that, except I'm going to sub in San Diego for Rio Grande Valley.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I'm going to sub in Rio. I do think, and I noticed, you know, when I made the announcement about the Orange County one, you were thumbs down. I'm kind of thumbs down. So, number one, I get the rematch, the revenge factor. Like, that's a selling point for the league. There's a lot of Rowdies fans will be into it.
Yep.
If you take that away, there's no interesting, like, compelling backstory to this match at all, in my opinion. Like, Orange County to me, like, I don't want to take anything away from them. It feels like it, but there's just like there's nothing there. The revenge thing, okay, I get it. That's valid. Also, though, this game should be played in Orange County.
Yes, that's,
they've come here and won.
That is my.
I want to go get. I want, given a choice, go give me the win in their stadium.
Yeah.
Make it the first season so that we can get the USL championship belt at least and bring that back.
It's a surprising decision by the league to have that game be here in Tampa Bay again. That actually really surprises me that they would be okay with that.
If nothing else, like, they're the champions. They've earned that right. If you're going to schedule to have that there.
Right? Yeah, I love playing Orange County next season. I hate the fact that we're playing home. I can't get behind that. Even as a home fan, I can't get behind that. Sorry.
But looking like Colorado Springs, they've got Haji Berry. They just signed Carlton Belmar. They're going to have an exciting attacking duo, but they're a Western Conference team. Your only hope is to see them in the championship game, and that requires them getting out of the first round. So, don't really see that happening. El Paso has been a strong team. They've made it to the conference final a couple of times. I'd like to see that happen. I don't really care about Galaxy 2. I really don't care about Las Vegas. Like, been there, done that. Monterey Bay is going to be brand new. Whatever. New Mexico, they've got some former Rowdies out there. They have apparently a great home team, like great supporter culture going on out there. That would be a fun one. Oakland, again, been there, done that. Phoenix Tampa Bay might be one of the most compelling matchups you can make in USL. I'm sure this time that'll be, I'm sure that game's going to happen, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be in Phoenix after we've had that. You know, that's going to be, we get Orange County here in exchange for going away to Phoenix. That's going to be a fun match, will be my guess. Rio Grande Valley, eh. Sacramento, I've always wanted to play. And I honestly, I want that game to be in Sacramento because I'd love to make that trip. That'd be a lot of fun. But I'll take it here, too. San Antonio, just because of those old NASL connections, even though it's, you know, new squad, whatever. They've got Alan Marcina back. It's San Antonio. Just bring, do it, or call it a retro night. We'll find Hoops McGee, take him out there. They can bring back the Poop Scorpion. It'll be a great evening of lower division soccer. And then lastly, San Diego. I kind of just love the idea. If they do that, I want like microphones and cameras on Neil Collins and Landon Donovan on the sideline. Assuming Landon Donovan makes it as far as this season, with it before, you know, interviewing for every possible MLS opening that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's going to grab him at some point. He's done a pretty good job in San Diego, and he's Landon Donovan. Like, someone's going to sign him.
I mean, you would think.
Be kind of my guess there. So, like we said, all conference opponents, two games each, remaining eight matches versus the West. The playoffs are going to be a little bit different this year. The top seven in each conference are going to make the playoffs, and the number one seed is going to get a first-round bye. So if you kind of transferred that to last season, Rowdies would have skipped that opening game, opening round. How do you feel about that setup? Is that something you like or you don't like?
Seven teams making the playoffs. It certainly could be worse. I don't mind having that many teams in playoffs. That actually isn't terrible. First round buys, that hasn't historically been a great thing for most teams.
No.
I don't know if I want that.
I don't necessarily love that one too much, the first round bye. Like kind of the thing with the playoffs is a team getting hot at the right time. And if you're getting hot at the end of the season and you walk into a first round bye like that, that might not be a great thing.
It's
fun. I liked when they had the play-in game. So like if you do seven teams and you have, you know, one of that is being like a play-in game, that's kind of fun. Like that's a way to reduce the number of teams actually in the playoffs, but maybe skip that first round bye. I don't know.
I'm not a huge fan of the play-in games because it's just having the quick turnarounds and you're trying to sell playoff tickets for a game that's going to happen in like 3 days or four. I don't like doing that. That being said, yeah. It's funny because the first round bye, you know, that whole concept, you know, that's very, it's very NFL based. You know, if you think about the different leagues, I mean, Major League Baseball, they just introduced the concept of like the play-in games where you can skip that for like only a certain number of teams play in that play-in round. And, you know, everybody else kind of skips that particular leg of it, but everybody else is playing straight away. You know, NBA, hockey, everybody's playing straight away. You don't get like a first round bye except in the NFL. And that's because NFL players are killing each other the entire season. So like that extra week makes a huge difference for those guys. And historically speaking, teams that have that bye week do historically well in the NFL. So it's funny because it's a very much a thing, an American sporting tradition. And I don't like it. I don't like it. It doesn't benefit soccer players. It doesn't benefit soccer teams.
So, counterpoint. I don't want the first round bye, but I do want the play-in game. But I want it set up like this. The play-in game happens the night before the regular first round of the playoffs in the stadium of the number one seed. So both of these teams are playing in like a neutral location. The winner then has to play the next night against the number one seed. You've got to give them some kind of advantage for being the number one seed. There you go. You're going to make this team. Because think of it, if a team can pull off both, you know, wins the play-in game and then knocks off the number one seed, that's a crazy story. That gets you at least into the top 15 on Brian Strauss's 21 greatest soccer moments this year in American soccer, rather than just 20 when you should have been in the top 10. I'd say do it that way. You don't like the idea, I already know, but that's how I want to do it.
It's ambitious. I'll give you that.
Of course. I say go for it. All right. Was there anything else necessarily? So one thing to keep in mind. So the season's going to start around March 11th, week before my birthday, just putting that out there. Traditionally, the Rowdies have opened on the road because of the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. However, the Grand Prix this year or next year is scheduled for February 25th through 27th. So there is a possibility they could get the race infrastructure down in time for the Rowdies to open at home. And I'm kind of saying that, hoping that maybe there's a road game the next week, because I have tickets for a 2-day concert festival in Tampa that next weekend. So I would not mind if there was an away game that weekend, so I didn't have to worry about trying to figure out how to make it all work into my schedule, even though I'm off that whole week of the spring break.
72 days until the 2022 USL season kicks off.
It's going to feel like 172 days. It already kind of does.
It feels like it's 10 days, and it feels like it's about to start tomorrow, and I'm like panicking in my head going, oh God, what am I going to do?
Well, yeah, we don't even have a full roster yet.
I've got all these plans, and all my weekends are about to disappear again. Son of a biscuit.
Bought these concert tickets thinking, the Rowdies regular season usually starts kind of mid to late March. It's never on my, there's only been one year where my, there's been a game on my birthday. And of course, now it's going to start the week before. Ready?
It's perfect.
Okay. We'll figure it out. All right. Enough of that for now. Get more information on that as we'll get schedules next month at some point.
Now we get to talk about something that actually matters.
To you. It is very important, and please don't take me stepping out for like 5 seconds to go grab a drink as a sign of how unimportant this is. Most everybody else. No, I just really have to go grab a drink, and I'm going to let you get into Open Cup, and then we'll come back and talk about it. But I will be listening.
All right. Your 2022 U.S. Open Cup. Officially, we are going to get the first round draw because all of the amateur level qualifications have wrapped up now. So the first draw for the first round is 3 weeks away. Yes, it's that soon. They have announced the entire format, of course. We have 8 rounds of the tournament from beginning to end. Round 1 is all amateur teams. They will be playing at the end of March. March 22nd and 23rd is the first kick of the tournament. And then round 2 will kick off on April 5th, between April 5th and 7th. That is when the USL Championship will be playing. Now that means that, assuming that there's no like crazy scheduling and bye weeks at the beginning of the year, your Tampa Bay Rowdies would be playing an Open Cup game right around 4 weeks after the start of the season is basically what you're looking at. Now, that's not awful considering that you're going to be playing an amateur level team anyways. So that's not terrible, all things considered. Hopefully the scheduling gods doesn't give us a ton of midweek games early in the season, so that way we're not too crowded. Assuming you win that match, the next game, April 19th through the 22nd, which is cool because technically that includes Saturday, would be 2 weeks later, and that would be when 17 of the MLS teams enter the tournament. Now, what makes interesting about that point is that it's not all the MLS teams. They are splitting them up based on regular season ratings from this past 2021 season. The top 8 MLS teams don't enter until the round of 32, then basically, which is round 4. those eight teams do not enter until the fourth round of the tournament. So it is kind of interesting how they're doing a bit of a staggered entry. Don't know how I feel about that per se, but it helps everybody in lower division staying away from the best MLS teams for an extra round. That's kind of cool. That's nice. So it's interesting to see how that will play out. May 10 and 11 being that round of 32, that fourth round. And it pretty much, as we've seen historically, it's 2 week increments. So May 24th, 25th, 2 weeks after that, becomes your round of 16. After that point, once you get to the quarterfinal round, now you have some breaks. So quarterfinal at that point wouldn't be until the end of June. The semifinal doesn't happen until the end of July. Your final would not happen until mid-September. So there are significant breaks in the tournament at that point, which of course is great because it helps you sell tickets. That's going to be pretty high-ranking events no matter what. So that's great. It's good news. One of the important things about the schedule this year is that they did intentionally avoid international breaks for the Open Cup, which is good because it gives the MLS teams no excuse to not play their best players, especially in the later rounds of the tournament. So that is a change. I mean, that isn't something that's been a frustrating thing for Open Cup fans over the years, is that the best players just didn't play in that tournament, even in the later rounds. So that is definitely something cool. I'm just breathing a sigh of relief that it's back. I like these exhibitions. I mean, they're not exhibitions, but I like this. I like having that tournament back in the fold. We just got to make sure we keep the CONCACAF Champions League spot associated with it. And we all know that that's maybe something that's going to be moving away. But I'm glad that we've got this thing back on the schedule again, because it really does help to break up, you know, the conference league schedule. Because I hate to tell you, but I hate playing the Charleston Battery. It just kind of like, give me Atlanta United. You know, like, I give me Orlando. You know, Charleston's great. Pittsburgh's cool. Louisville's whatever. Phoenix, give me Orlando. Just give me Inter Miami. Give me one of these MLS teams local to us. I'd love to put them on our grass.
So, yeah, looking at this here, number one, you're going to have, you've got this kind of change to the schedule. You talked about the a good chunk of the MLS teams coming in round three rather than round of 32 at that point. But you've also got it sounds weird because most of the teams are excluded, but you have new leagues coming in as well too. This new MLS Division III league, MLS Next Pro, whatever the name is, because the Open Cup rules that teams owned by a higher division team or majority owned aren't eligible. You do have two eligible teams currently from MLS Next Pro coming in, which is the former Rochester Rhinos, now I believe just going under Rochester NYFC, which is not at all confusing. And then St. Louis City SC, who is not making their, I guess they're going to start out as an MLS Next club and then move up afterwards. Is that the idea? Because they're listed on the U.S. Soccer website as one of the MLS Next clubs participating. I guess they're going to, you know, play a season in MLS Next before actually going to MLS. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but you're going to have some other teams as well too. Going to be interesting. It's going to be, you know, like you said, earlier on in the season with that early April date for Open Cup, which that one's definitely going to be midweek looking at it. I can tell because I have a wedding to be at the weekend after that game. So I know it's going to be another midweek one. So we'll see. I honestly enjoy the Open Cup for the same reason I enjoy interconference games, a chance to play other teams as from you don't see or don't see as often. I prefer it when it's home games because it's ones I can actually go to. Making a trip to like Portland or other places that you're Columbus or wherever you ended up in Ohio for that Crew game. I can't do that stuff midweek. There's a very low possibility of me doing it ever, but it's much higher on the weekends, not a midweek one. But if it's a midweek one at Al Lang, I'm good for it. Especially if we start doing Open Cup pregame shows now. I think we should find a way to rope that in. Even if it's an away game, we should be able to do an Open Cup pregame show. That could be fun.
Yes, it would.
We might even be. We could maybe even get Dan interested in Open Cup at this point. I do appreciate that they're managing to build in more time in between the rounds. It's at least 2 weeks, which has not happened necessarily in the past. And then it kind of the way they've got it scheduled, it's kind of, you know, wrapping up, going into like that September, October, November, where you've got league finals, beginning of playoffs, that kind of stuff going on. So it's going to make be kind of part of that time period in U.S. soccer, which will be kind of fun as well too. So we'll see. As always, I just want to do a road trip to the Villages. I figure I'm vaccinated and boosted. I'm safe from pretty much anything you can catch in the Villages. Went there.
I wish you hadn't. All right. Among other noteworthy things involving the Rowdies this last couple weeks here, Sports Illustrated, Brian Strauss, did put out a top like 21 American soccer stories for the year 2021. And the typical things headline the list: your MLS champions, your, you know, resurgent New England Revolution this year after many years of being garbage.
Can I hop real quick with some more breaking news?
All right.
It could be potentially Rowdies related. I Dan and I had discussed this briefly as a possibility. Juan Guerra, former Rowdies player, and last season assistant coach at Phoenix Rising and previous assistant coach at Indy 11, has left Phoenix.
Intriguing. Very intriguing.
Have some assistant, at least two assistant coach spots. I mean, well, we had two departed. Don't know if they're going to plan to replace, you know, both players, but I mean, both coaches. But man, can you imagine a coaching staff next year of head coach Neil Collins with Juan Guerra and John Wolanek there on the sidelines?
Oh, jeez, would you stop?
It's happening.
Ay, ay, ay.
Happening.
Anyways. Yeah,
but seriously, so, Juan, that would be fantastic.
So Sports Illustrated, again, did their top 21 soccer stories, American-based. Like I said, all your traditional stuff would be there. All of your national team events, certainly, you know, multiple victories over Mexico during the season. Lots of European and based American players that make that list. Cracking the list as well, number 20, was the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Thanks to the insanity that was the semifinal of comeback win over Louisville. What a memory. I'm still not over it. I still get tingles every time I think about it.
All right, Jake asked this earlier from his personal account. Like, well, not directly related to this, but, you know, how crazy would it have been if he was correctly given the third goal that he scored for his hat trick that night? So I'm going to rephrase it this way. How much higher up the list is it if Lucky gets properly credited for his hat trick that he scored that?
Maybe
that's at least 16, 15. once you factor in American soccer journalism's lower division bias, I'm going to say it's at least top 15.
It probably would have been, it probably would have definitely gone up at least one spot.
I'll
give you that. That would have been, absolutely just otherworldly if that had happened. I mean, holy smokes. Speaking of, and we'll mention this, somebody had a Twitter thread this week talking about what changes would you make to USL, not including like Pro Rel. My number one suggestion, the thing that I think would be the easiest to implement, hypothetically speaking, you know, because it doesn't take any other humans involved, it's just money, goal line tech. I still would love to have goal line tech. I that's, to me, that's what needs to happen.
I know the thread you're talking about. I actually know the guy that started the thread. I've met him a couple times. A lot of people's first response was VAR, but I think goal line tech is at least at lower division, probably something more manageable to implement. I mean, USL's got 5 million official suppliers of something or rather. Like, this could be done. At least, you know, trial it out for a year. Some USL games were trialing VAR, trial goal line technology.
Yeah.
Yep. If they can make shopping carts lock up at a certain spot that in the public's parking lot, they can figure this out.
VAR is supposed to be used for... traditionally, the definition is clear and obvious error, though its usage has been dependent on what nationality and league and, you know, different things that come out from it. So it gets implemented in different ways, but that's traditionally what it is. That means that you're just basically judging somebody's opinion on the field. Okay, it is what it is. Goal line tech is measuring something that happened that should be non-debatable. You know, does the ball cross the line? Yes or no? There's no middle ground. So for me, if you're going to prioritize those two technologies or the two referee aids, goal line tech is way higher on the list than VAR overall, if I'm comparing him head to head. So, like I said, that for me is where I would do it. Now, the other funny story that came out that I had picked up on was all Uruguayan goal scorers in the calendar year for 2021.
I saw this tweet, but I didn't click on the C translation, so I didn't know exactly what it was, but I just saw Seba's name mentioned.
Yes. So keep in mind, Uruguay is a very small country population-wise. There are more people in the Tampa Bay metro than there is in the entire country of Uruguay. Okay? So keep this in mind. But Sebastian Guenzotti, including domestic players in Uruguay right now, had the sixth highest goal count of all Uruguayan born players in the world in 2021. That is a remarkable figure to consider when you're actually counting the domestic leagues themselves. So major, major congratulations to him. You know, team captain of our Rowdies. He's not officially on the roster announced as of yet, and there's some speculation that I've seen that he might not be on the roster for next season, that he may be on the move. Honestly, with the type of numbers he's put up in the last couple of years, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody's sniffing around, potentially looking to sign him up. Whether it's here in USL or somewhere else, it would be more than deserved. He certainly put in a lot of track record with us, with the Cosmos, that I at this point it wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up moving on somewhere else. But who wouldn't want to have your leading goal scorer back for another season?
Right.
Your team captain back for another season. So still crossing the fingers that he stays here. But yeah, sixth highest goal count for his native-born country. How incredible. That is just a crazy, crazy statistic to consider.
Kind of wild. Can I also, more uninformed speculation that I meant to offer before that's not Seba related, but I just reminded myself that I was going to mention it. Earlier today, the Rowdy's official Twitter account retweeted a video that Juan Tejada took of sunrise out at Port DeSoto Beach. So, I mean, you don't do that from guys you're not going to have on the roster next year, I don't think. So, obviously, in my opinion, Juan Tejada's coming back. Uninformed speculation. Totally uninformed speculation.
I'll say this. He has an invitation to camp. I don't know if he's on the roster, but there's an open door for tryouts. That's what I'm willing to give him.
He's got an invitation to come camp out in my backyard if he wants to. I'll throw the tent out there. I'll give him a key. Like, whatever. Juan, you're always welcome here.
No, I. This is what I said 2 weeks ago. You know, Juan Tejada is very similar to Jordan Doherty right now with their careers and where they're looking to go and what they can do. Sometimes change of scenery is what you need. So, like I said, I would not be hurt at all if Tejada decides that that's what's best for his future. And if he ends up staying here, great. I mean, we love him. Everybody loves him. So, I mean, if he stays here, that's fantastic. But sometimes you just need that change of scenery every now and then, you know, especially as a player. So we'll see what happens there. For sure.
We can build pillow forts. We can watch movies. We'll just have all kinds of fun. I've got a brand new fire pit back there. Juan, anytime. Absolutely anytime. You want to go ahead and hop into the listener questions? There's not a ton, but we have a couple. All right. First off, from Brett at St. Pete Flux. Was really hoping I was going to scroll to it by the time I got to the end of introducing it, but I didn't. Hold on another second. Here we go. I don't have a question. I just miss seeing you guys every week.
Aww.
I mean, we were talking earlier today about whether or not we were going to do the show, and honestly, it's been a couple weeks since all the news that we talked about came out, and you know, stuff we had discussed and tweeted about and everything else, but honestly, I just needed to do a show. I needed a reason to get out of bed today. Let's be honest. Like, I need to get up and do a podcast. I wasn't on the last show that we did. I was out. I was seeing Spider-Man that night. Hell of a movie, by the way. Speaking of brand new things, maybe remotely of your interest, Book of Boba Fett, episode 1.
Haven't seen it yet. Probably going to see it tonight.
Very good. Very good. Pay attention to the voice of his droid.
Okay.
Probably won't recognize it at first, but it's a rather famous individual.
Okay.
I was quite impressed. Enjoyed it. Yeah, I honestly, like you're saying 72 days. I don't know how I'm going to like that. That feels like forever. There's signings, there's preseason games. There's just all kinds of crap to get through. I can't wait. And now that I know, like, opening weekend is going to be the beginning of my spring break, and then possibly a second week of the season game, potentially around my birthday. That could be a lot of fun. I might have to be revising some of my birthday plans, but we'll see. That's how it goes. Next one from David Morales. Davey from Tampa. Predictions on the use of the 7510 logo, the introduced crest this year on kits next season. Dropped completely, only on a third, used on more than one. And we've got this new deal with the Rowdies moving to Puma to have jerseys produced.
I say it's still a third kit.
I'd say it's at least a third kit, maybe potentially a second and third also. I think you're going to have again, and I can't remember when this was when this news broke. Like, we knew about this for a little while. We've heard about this, but it wasn't officially announced. But I think, you know, for next season, and I saw somewhere because you know, a lot of people were giving FC Cincinnati crap for having basically replica shirts when they first came into the league. That in order to have like new designs and custom designs done, you kind of have to have that set in the middle of the previous season that's when the art's finalized. That's when the orders are placed. That's when production starts. So with this deal just being signed slash announced now, obviously it's going to be some kind of stock template for next year. It's going to be the year after that you start to see, you know, some custom bespoke designs, which I really want to see the, you know, the hoop sleeves coming back. I'm just putting that out there into the world. I think for the home jersey, you're going to have traditional, the Rowdy's word mark. And maybe that for in a way too. And you could see the 7510 crest on a third, hopefully on something more than just a basic white jersey. But we'll see. I say it's at least a third, possibly in a way kit though too. You ever see it taking over completely?
Give it a few years, as long as sales are strong. That would be all dependent on sales and your sale figure predictions and things like that. If anything involving that new kit is clearly outselling all other forms of merchandise with just the word mark, then I think that's your tell at that point.
I think if you bring the if they bring the hoop sleeves back with the word mark logo, I don't think anything ever outsells that. I think that just
like I mean, for me it's reactionary, not really predictive. Let's let the chip falls where they are, in because I have no problem either way. I don't really particularly care if it becomes the full time logo or not. To me, if the fan base is purchasing this stuff, then that's them speaking their opinion. And if it's outselling the normal home jerseys, then that's all I need to know. You know, that's my perspective on it.
Yeah, I can see that. Next one, also from David. Was Dan re-signed for 2022? Dan did come back on a 1 year deal with a pod option for 2022. And as he sits at home, listening, as the senior member of management currently speaking tonight, yes, we have picked up Dan's option for 2022, whether he likes it or not.
Though the debate was heavy, thanks to some very, choice words he had on certain subjects on social media, we decided to, you know, bring him back. Why not?
And I think that's it. I think that's it for the questions. Let me just double check through everything. Yeah. That's it for tonight. Not a lot of questions when there's just a bunch of unknowns. Because usually the questions are like, react to this news. Well, there's no news.
Well, Dan, we wish you were here, but you're not. So, aha, be gone with you. Matt, it was fun being able to catch up. I hope you had a good holiday season.
I have survived. I did set a new personal record for getting all of the Christmas decorations down and stowed. That was yesterday, as soon as I got home from driving back across the state from visiting my parents. And then I just like, all right, let's get the rest of this crap down. I am completely de-Christmased.
Yeah, I ended up being like sick with a cold during the holiday. I tested negative for COVID, so that was cool. But so it's just feeling crummy. I was miserable. I ended up staying home from pretty much all the family participation entirely. I stayed home. Just, yeah, going through tissue boxes. That was an unfortunately timed moment for a cold or sinus infection, whatever it was. Yeah, that really kind of stunk. A little bit at least. But I did manage to watch all of The Witcher 2, Season 2, all of Lost in Space Season 3, and the one and only season of Cowboy Bebop live action.
So, how is Lost in Space?
Oh, I loved it.
But I'm a total junkie for anything sci-fi fantasy, so it didn't really matter. Like, I thought Cowboy Bebop was fun as heck, and that thing got canceled like a day after the season got premiered.
Right. I haven't gotten around to watching Lost in Space, and I forgot they were even like still doing new seasons of it, and I saw it pop up on Netflix as new episodes, and I'm like, really? It's on my list. It's one of those to go back and watch. I'm still in the middle of like season one of The Expanse, which is I kind of dig that one. So we'll see. I'll put it on my list. The Witcher. I've already been through this. I barely made it through episode one, and I don't know. Like, it just, I didn't hate it. I just was like it was already halfway through it, and I'm like, well, let's see what's going on my phone, and it just
squirrel.
When that's the subconscious reaction, then I usually don't keep on.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, so if the season's March 11th, that means that we're probably only about maybe what, 4 weeks away from preseason camp?
I know in the past preseason, like training camp has started pretty much right after the New Year's. So we're not far away.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it right now, right, we're only 5 weeks away from the first week of February. MLS mm-hmm. camp, I think, starts I think it starts in 3 weeks. I think is when a lot of the MLS camps start up, because their season kicks off in February. So yeah, like it's oh boy, stuff is gonna happen quickly now, I think.
It's around that time of year where I start Googling MLS like preseason camp locations to see how many of them are gonna show up in like Tampa or Bradenton, and try and figure out if there might be some friendlies going on, or what's potentially gonna happen.
Yeah, just, you know, as long as COVID isn't, like, you know, going freaking crazy, as it kind of is in some ways.
Yeah.
Just keep the, you know what? Just keep the hospitalization rates low, and I don't care about the rest of it. That's the only thing that matters. Right. If people aren't dying, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, ultimately. So.
That honestly is where it's at. And you know, I've done everything that I can do to this point. So, yeah,
exactly.
What a bummer way to end the season. We did get a comment here from Mike Maroney. Honestly surprised I'd ever agree with Stephen Cundiff, but Cowboy Bebop was good for what it was.
Yeah.
Like, it was from another dimension's Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I get the fact that a lot of people didn't like the fact that it apparently departed away from, you know, the animated series and things like that. I get.
Yeah, I've never consumed any of that, so I don't have any preconceived notions going into it.
That is precisely my thing, too, is that I don't know really anything about the established lore. It was just fun to me, and I didn't have a problem with it. Like, but I'm a sci-fi junkie, so like it doesn't matter. If there's a starship in the show, I'm probably going to watch all of it. So, you know, it is what it is. But, well, I think that's it for tonight. Do you want to take us out? You haven't been here for a while. Let's make you do some work today.
I've been off for a month. All right. We love yous. Okay, just yeah, everybody, especially our departing guys, Evan Lauro, Max Lakowecki, Zach Steinberger, and even like Ian McGrain and Luis Fernando. Like, never got to see you play, but we did get to see you train and warm up, and you know, you were still a part of this team. I have the picture from right after the Eastern Conference final where they pulled Dan and I into the picture down there, and both of those guys are in there, and my daughter like, are these like are they like the trainers? I'm like, no, those are players, they just didn't play that much. Like, play a vital part behind the scenes in training, in practice, in everything else. So thank you guys for what you did, what in whatever capacity while you were here. Good luck to all of you in whatever you do in the future. Always will be welcome back. Like, you always see teams are like, oh, you know, thank you for your service and always welcome back here at the stadium. But like those guys, especially like Steinberger has, you know, there's all that hype coming in about he's always good for one Steinbringer here or there a year, and probably didn't make the impact maybe some of us thought he was going to have. But he scored a goal like, what, 3 minutes into the Eastern Conference final against Louisville. Like, there's no, like, that's going to be something that people are going to remember for a long time. Evan Lauro, like, you can't think of the last two seasons don't really exist without someone like Evan Lauro back there in goal. So, you know. And, you know, Max had two stints here, was a fan favorite and, you know, kind of guy that would pop over to Corrigan's after a game and hang out. Like, he came over after that Eastern Conference final, and he was just like, we're all just out there kind of talking about Lucky scoring a goal. And he's just like, yeah, I'm still just blown away. Like, he's like, I don't even know what to say. Like, he like felt the same as we did. And he was there in uniform to see it happen. So, always look forward to seeing these guys come back soon. And you can tell that they're all leaving here in good terms. They've all had great things to say about their time and about the club on Twitter. And you get the impression, especially like we said, not knowing if guys like Max and Zach are going to be continuing their playing careers. They don't have to like say nice things. They're not, you know, putting on a nice face for a potential future club. Like, but they genuinely enjoyed their time here you know, have nothing but good things to say, which is cool. So to all of them, best wishes. And if you're Evan, hope we see you out there as soon as possible on a field somewhere for some team. I don't even care if it's in the opposition goal at Al Lang. Like, I want to see you playing again, because way too young to go out like that. So get the rehab done. And we'll see you as soon as possible. Steven, we love yous.
Jordan Doherty, my friend, have a great 2 years back in Ireland. Go kick Shamrock Rovers' butts, please. That's my only thing. That's it right there. Just kick Shamrock. That's what I need you to do, please, over and over and over again. But no, we love you. Absolutely. Thank you so much for the several years you played here. You were vital to the development of this team, getting it to where it was. And it's and just as I said on Twitter, it's been such a joy watching you develop as a player and get stronger in your game. And I hope your career really, really takes off these next two seasons over in Ireland. So good luck. Best wishes, my friend, and we'll be following. We'll definitely be keeping an eye out, making sure that you are doing good. We'll keep you accountable.
Hell yeah. Thank you, as always, to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, and to Corrigan's. Hope to just see all of you in some form in the foreseeable future. Thank you to our new friends at Taco Bus as well, too. Thank you to all you guys for listening live tonight or listening later as a podcast. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review. Spotify's got a thing now where you can drop 5-star ratings on your favorite podcast. Feel free to go ahead and do that. We won't complain. If you'd like to make this awkward and take this relationship to the next level, there's always Patreon. Patreon.com/unusedsubspod. All different kinds of supporting levels from $1 a month all the way up to 10 or pick your own. It's the best way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Thank you to our sponsors at Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Steven, I feel like we need to do a scarf for next year. I kind of am already thinking through some ideas in the head. We'll talk about that at the winter meetings. Which we got to talk to you about, because Dan and I picked the date and we said we just had to run it by you and make sure it was going to work too, but I'll do that in a second. And then if you're tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, If you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team, got to look good as you work your way up through the Open Cup to try and get that CONCACAF Champions League spot. Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. That's it for us for this evening, for this season, for the year 2021. The true farewell to Zozy. We'll be off next week, assuming no huge news breaks, and considering that most of the club is on vacation right now too. I don't think there'll be a ton of huge news. Maybe we'll get a schedule or at least a home opener or something. We'll see. Whatever it is, but if not, we'll be back the week after. Even if we just have to make up stuff to talk about, or we can just do Book of Boba Fett reviews. Steven, always a pleasure. Dan, that's just in general, not related to tonight. That's just Dan specific. All right, Steven, hit the music and let's go have a New Year's party.
All right. And with that, have a good night. And as always, go Rowdies.